I'm willing to do business with anybody, but it has to be the right situation and what's best for our shareholders. So does that mean we collect a retainer? Does that mean we shorten the payment terms? It's all about the compromise at the end of the day. Can we set up the account so that we can do the business that we want, but also not put too much burden on the shareholders with the risk?
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We are your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today's guest is Robert Michael, Senior Director of Credit and Collections at Robert Half. Robert is an accomplished credit executive with over 25 years of experience in the industry. He leads global teams and specializes in risk mitigation, process optimization, and boosting operational efficiency. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So for today's topic, I'd like to discuss how you handle managing risk amongst repeat clients. But before we get into that, can you tell me a little more about how you found yourself in this industry?
I don't think anybody sets out to be a credit and collection executive. We just tend to fall into it, talking to peers across numerous years of working in this industry. Honestly, I was in a family business and things took a turn for the worst and I needed a job. So I answered an ad to be a collector at a small third-party agency in my early 20s. And it just, from there, continued to succeed and found a niche and built my career based on different positions and moving up in different organizations. And I've been really fortunate to have landed at Robert Half for the last 22 years. You know, I started out as a level one collector and have been in just about every position in the company in credit and collections. You know, earned my bachelor's degree or my master's degree all while working at Robert Half. Good old fashioned American climb the corporate ladder, I guess.
Oh, that's great. Is there anything about the industry that stuck out to you that made you want to keep climbing and growing in your leadership?
Yeah, it's unique, right? So I tell people and clients all the time, I don't have a box of widgets to come and repossess off of your receiving dock if you don't pay us. We're cash out of pocket every week. We have to pay the candidates and consultants no matter what, which, you know, puts a little bit more skin in the game for us. It's also a people industry. You know, it's about relationships and building relationships both internally and externally with our clients and our sales team. We work really hand in hand with our sales team a lot based on what we do. So every day has been different for 22 years. There's never been a boring day. You know, I've never had I think if you talk to anybody at Robert Half, it's not, you're looking at, you know, oh, it's 4 o'clock on Friday. You know, I can't wait for this hour to be over. I mean, the weeks go by fast. And then the next thing you know, you've been here for 2 decades. So,
oh, wow.
We have a lot of tenure. So we have a lot of 10, 15, 20, 30 year employees.
Well, that's great. That's always a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's actually a good transition into talking about Robert Half and the kind of unique area of collections that it's in. So Robert Half is the largest talent solutions firm and works with clients across the globe. So I can imagine with so many companies and department looking for Robert Half services, there might be some unique strategies needed during that collections process. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, again, this really goes back to a relationship piece. You know, I think we have to build a much bigger rapport with our firm client base to make sure that they're getting what they need and we are getting what we need in return as far as a business partnership. You know, from a risk strategy, we have some really good partnerships with D&B and Credit Risk Monitor. We've built algorithms to really help us and guide us on how much credit we're willing to provide a client, just again, because we're cash out of pocket on a weekly basis.
You mentioned that you have a really close relationship with sales. Is that because you all have to stay in tune very closely? Because I can imagine, you know, when you use it in a company like this, numerous departments are all using the services at the same time, while obviously the accounting team or whoever is handling the payment. So how do you maintain that relationship with sales? How do you encourage your team to kind of build that relationship with the sales team?
Yeah. So when I first started with Robert Half, I joke all the time that when I did presentations with the sales team, I had to bring chicken wire, right? Because we were the only ones that ever taught them no. And, you know, as you know, most sales departments are trained how to combat the word no. So we really went away from just putting a hard no on things and trying to really rework what is the compromise, you know? So we're working with the client. I'm willing to do business with anybody, but it has to be the right situation and what's best for our shareholders. So does that mean we collect a retainer? Does that mean we shorten the payment terms? You know, what can we fit inside the box of that risk? So having a really crucial relationship with sales and communication and partnership in order to explain that to the client if they don't have any credit, or being able to lead sales down the path of, you know, we really can't fit the service levels that you want to do here based on the risk. It's all about the compromise at the end of the day. Can we set up the account so that we can do the business that we want, but also not put too much burden on the shareholders with the risk?
Yeah, it's almost like you have to employ the same relationship building tactics that you typically would with your clients, with your internal client, aka sales, just to make sure everybody is on the same page and that you're maintaining that good relationship, since you're obviously going to be working very closely together.
Yeah, so we have two sets of customers that we talk about from my department, right? We have our external clients and we also have our sales team, right? And we work hand in hand with them a lot. But there's a lot of negotiation back and forth. You know, I get a call on a Saturday, especially during COVID when they were setting up all the impromptu call centers and we're trying to do contracts. And, you know, so being able to be available for them, jump in, you know, I've jumped on planes to go and sit with clients and talk, work out terms, just to make sure that they get what they need, especially in today's economy when trying to find jobs for people. It's been a hard go right now, right? So, being able to loosen up our policy a little bit to fit more business in and work with them has been crucial to really trying to generate revenue as well.
So on your LinkedIn profile, you highlighted that you're skilled in enhancing the effectiveness and output of credit systems. You mentioned a lot of moving parts just now. So how has that effectiveness of the credit systems you're using or the technology help with your efforts?
Yeah, I'm a data guy. So I really like to really crunch data to make it more efficient, to see, you know, I'm constantly looking at how many calls are we making in a day, the timing of those calls, the peak hour of those calls, what's the efficiency on, you know, our email usage, looking at those different types of metrics. And also being able to, as we put our notes in, like all collection teams do, you know, as we note and categorize our calls, what's the most effective things that we're doing to get to the customer and to push payment and cash flow. So we do a really good job here. We have an industry leading DSO. I think our DSO is going to come out in somewhere in the mid 30s right now, which is, you know, way out ahead of most of the industry. Since COVID, we've been at home, you know, and everybody's been, you know, we've kind of gone away from the, you know, our field service locations, and we transitioned quickly in being able to find the right systems to allow our team to be successful at home was challenging at first, but we were able to do that. And people have really, I think a lot of companies have, in the shift, they started to lose a little productivity, whereas we've gone the other way and we've been very productive from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. One of the points that we touch on here at CNR Software and a lot of our blog content is about how setting your team up for success with the right technology, right? They're already in this position where, you know, maybe the collections opportunities are increasing or just their responsibility is doubling while being challenged with working from home, not necessarily having that culture of the call center and that high energy. So supplying them with the right technology to help their job so that therefore they can best help your clients has been a big portion of success. I've heard that from a lot of our podcast guests as well talk about that.
Yeah, I think the shift right now too is, As we shift out like of the baby boomers and the Gen X, and we get into the millennial crowd, you now have a group of employees that grew up on social media, they grew up on technology, and they're more comfortable with email and IM and chat than they are phone calls per se. I'm an old school collector. You know, I grew up churning and burning calls. I think building the rapport with the client and getting on the phone with them and continue to talk to them is so important. So trying to get our staff to get more into that mindset where they're not relying so much on the technology, you know, chat and emails and things of that nature, where we're actually forming these relationships and talking to the clients. That's been a big push for us this year to really get our teams back on the phone to build relationships with the people that they're dealing with. I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you're a collector, you're still a salesperson. You're just selling yourself, right? You're selling something that's not as palatable as what our sales team is selling. because you want to get ahead of the next person when you're getting paid, especially in a risky situation. I want to build a rapport with whoever it is in finance, you know, whether it's an AP person, a controller, a CFO. I'm going to build that relationship with them. So they're like, hey, you know, Robert's a great guy. You know, we want to get them taken care of. Their service is great. And so we're putting the right face forward for Robert Half, but also getting ahead of everybody else in the chain of collection to ensure that, you know, that we're getting paid and we're getting our, you know, our staff fit as well.
It's like using the technology that you know they're so familiar with to establish trust. But then, like you said, selling yourself and your personality to establish right. that, hey, I'm not just an anonymous face behind a corporation. I'm actually here to help guide you through whatever financial hardship you're going through to make sure that we can all equal out.
Yeah, we're really trying to measure from, we talked about metrics before, and we're looking at successful connection. It's really easy. You know, I'm an executive. I get a lot of emails, you know, from vendors or what. It's really easy for me to get really busy any day and not get to those emails. But if you call me and you talk to me, I'm going to go find that email and take care of you, right? And I think that lesson for me, especially since now that I'm remote, sharing that wisdom with my team, like once you, if you get them on the phone and you talk to them, your emails are also going to be more effective in the long run, right? We need to make those initial contacts so that we can have more success in a collection realm than just like flipping emails to everybody all back.
Yeah, an actual personalized outreach based on the conversation right. that you had.
Right.
So I know you mentioned you're pushing phone calls, obviously, but are you starting to explore any of the AI tools out there that are starting to make a space in the collections industry?
We are. Yeah. I mean, we're kicking the tires on that. I think from a perspective, Robert Half has really embraced AI. We've won some awards recently for the data that we have, you know, over 3 or 4 decades of being in the staffing industry and being able to match people and use our data to make that quicker, make those connections for the customers quicker. We're also looking at things to make us more efficient from an AI perspective. We're not quite there yet, but there's a lot of technology out there as far as being able to queue up your day that I've recently looked at. You know, you'll be more successful if you call these accounts today. Here are your follow-ups for today. And these 10 or 15 accounts are the ones that are really risky that you need to stay on top of. You know, just being able to prioritize, we're looking at those kind of things to be more efficient. We haven't implemented anything yet, but it's definitely something that we're doing a lot of research on right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good example of how you're looking into it. Because I know a lot of people think AI is going to replace a lot of things, but you're looking at an instance of AI that can basically help your team get on the phone faster, prioritizing your day. So not replacing that phone call, but helping it make it so you can actually take more. And then going back to what you said, establish that relationship.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But also the metrics and the reporting too. Like, you know, we want to see the efficiency of our team. You know, I think from an AI perspective, some of the stuff that I've seen has been pretty powerful. When you're looking at productivity and efficiency and people that are turning over cash faster. And there's some metrics that I like, a DSO by desk. You know, how quickly can you turn that sale into cash at the desk level? The way we're set up is a little bit unique because we're set up so we have collection people. They don't just handle like, you know, A through Z. They actually handle a certain amount of branches in a geographic area. So I might have a collector that has all of Midtown Manhattan. Right. And maybe some of the North Jersey branches too. So they're responsible for that area and all the accounts that go. So now you have specific relationships with those salespeople that, you know, are housed in that area. That's a little bit different than other collection jobs that I've had with the way we've broken up accounts.
So Robert, this was a really great conversation today. I feel like we touched on a lot. Is there anything that you want to cover before we sign off?
I think from a credit collection perspective, you know, from talking in general across the, you know, the industry, I think it's still important with all this new technology that we stay on the phone, right? I think just being able to stay back to basics and build those relationships with the customers goes so much further than blindly sending emails or IMs to people. You know, you really need to make those connections at the end of the day to have success.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like from the guests that I've had, that's a very reoccurring theme that everybody is trying to get on. Like, we all got very excited about the technology that's available. And while it's very important, like we said, it can help lead to building that relationship on the phone or even in person, like you were saying, getting on planes and going to clients when they really need that extra help. Right. Well, Robert, again, thank you so much for joining. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.